Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back on FFC, and not just back, but starting a new hour, our second hour on this day two of the NFL draft special, live from Atlantic City at the Ocean Casino Resort. Who needs Kansas City when you have Atlantic City and you have Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens with you? The mastermind of the pigskin, that is Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We are live together in person, of course, over the radio airwaves. You cannot see that, but I guarantee you we are a mere few inches away from each other at our Sports Grid set where we have been anchoring, and it has been the headquarters of all of our coverage here for our 2023 NFL Draft Special. Joe, we were on air last night together for 4 consecutive hours, as well as our great team, Mike Blewett, Adam Kaplan, the NFL Insider, and of course, Warren Sharp, one of the brightest football minds out there with his projections, his insight, and his analysis. We'll all be back together for a 6-hour marathon for day number 2, rounds 2 and 3 tonight, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern time all the way until midnight. It is going to be fun. It has already been fun. I look forward to the second hour of FFC as well.
Oh, I can't wait. And I'll just say this about
the atmosphere. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Is this what it's all about?
This is what it's all about, baby. The atmosphere here is unbelievable. Yeah. If you haven't been to Ocean Resort Casino, I mean, it is phenomenal. We're overlooking the floor behind us, a great sports book. I mean, unbelievable place to watch college and NFL action along with the NBA and everything else. But let me just tell you, the atmosphere really gets you pumped up, and round number 2 is going to be exciting. I again, where does Will Levis go? Where does Hendon Hooker go? Some of the other names that we watch each and every week, potentially Deuce Vaughn, B.J. Ojulari. I mean, there are some names out there. Keely Ringo that wasn't taken in the first round. Those are players that can be plug and play type of guys that can help a team make a playoff run, or potentially, even maybe dethrone the Kansas City Chiefs.
And Joe, that's the interesting thing about the NFL draft, right? The idea of the slide, a player that has stuck around longer than we expected. But it's all on expectation, and it might just be overall a few picks in the order of the eventual 7 rounds of this NFL draft. For instance, the tight end out of Notre Dame, Michael Mayer, he had a draft position prop at 23.5. We expected him to be the first tight end off the board. He was not. The Buffalo Bills at 25th overall take Dalton Kincaid, the tight end out of Utah. But if Michael Mayer goes in the first 3 picks tonight and he had a draft position prop that was anywhere from 21.5 to 23.5, he might be within 10 to 12 picks of what was the expectation, but might find himself in a better spot for him personally, for the organization overall. You never know how it works out, but there's such a delineation, of course, because because of how the NFL draft is structured for the TV event that it is. Night number one, day number two, rounds two and three, and then day three is rounds four through seven to finish everything out. Because Michael Mayer, Joe, is one of those players that we're surprised is still on the board slightly. You mentioned B.J. Ojulari, a couple of players like Osiris Torrance that were favored to be a first round pick, and they were not still available. Of course, there will be a ton of focus on the quarterbacks. Will Levis, Hendon Hooker. How early do they go on night number two in that second round, and which team ends up with them, maybe now with perceived value because they weren't top five or top 10 guys or even first round guys, but could they still have a successful NFL career taken early on in the second round? Because, Joe, that's the idea of the slide, right? We mentioned Nolan Smith, an over-under of 11.5, and the under had the heavy juice. He's drafted 30th overall by the Eagles. Although it might be a slight knock to his pride, I think he would tell you he is ecstatic to go to the team that just won an NFC championship to play alongside his former Georgia teammates in Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, and N'Kobe Dean. That's a perfect situation. That wouldn't have happened unless he was still available at 30th overall. Christian Gonzalez, for instance, who was favored to be a top 10 pick at minus 220, the cornerback out of Oregon, stays on the board for longer than we anticipated, ends up 17th overall, a guy that will add depth immediately to a secondary coached by Bill Belichick, who got his start as a defensive backs coach in the National Football League. To be in that situation, Joe, I got to think it's one that Christian Gonzalez is probably pretty fired up by and can make an immediate impact.
Yeah, maybe not the team in terms of New England, right? You know, in the sense of and
maybe football's not so fun anymore.
But. No, I'm just saying from a technique and a situational positional standpoint, I mean, Bill Belichick, one of the best defensive minds in terms of all of the NFL. I mean, just hands down, great defensive-minded coach. But I'll just say New England obviously has to do a lot more to get back to challenge teams Miami and Buffalo, respectively. Couple of things, too, about the slot. We saw it last year with N'Kobe Dean, right? N'Kobe Dean was a first-round talent, goes to the third round to the Philadelphia Eagles. Nobody really saw that for N'Kobe Dean in terms of how he fell in the NFL draft. It is all about fit, right? When you look at Michael Mayer, potential landing spots were Buffalo and even maybe Dallas, them losing Dalton Schultz. But Buffalo, I think, really wanted to go wide receiver. I talked about it with Carver all week as well.
Yeah.
Huge Buffalo Bills fan. Look at what was looking at them in the face, right? That Addison is gone. Quentin Johnson is gone. Zay Flowers is gone.
Right.
JSN is gone. You're like, oh, we had wide receivers. You know,
well, they probably, Joe, they're watching the draft play out. They see the first 15 picks, 17 picks, 19 picks, and all the four wide receivers are on the board. They're like, yes, one of these guys is going to fall to us. And they go four in a row, 20 through 23.
Right. And I think that's why they went in the way that they did with Kincaid over maybe someone else.
They need more playmakers. Warren Sharp talked about it last night. Of course, we highlight Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and everything that Buffalo can do. But in terms of actual explosive depth, Dalton Kincaid can provide that out of the tight end spot. And that will be big for the Buffalo Bills, the second best odds to win the AFC Championship in 2023. More football, full circle, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
So, Joe, let's keep diving through the first round before we continue to turn our focus to day number two, rounds two and three of the 2023 NFL draft. I think there's a couple of spots here, Joe, where I want to talk about young quarterbacks that are probably pretty happy with how their team drafted last night. The Bears move back by one from 9 to 10 and then draft Darnell Wright, the offensive tackle out of Tennessee. That's huge for Justin Fields. They need to bolster that offensive line. If we are ever going to see, Joe, if Justin Fields is the real deal, he needs time to become the real deal. Of course, they acquired DJ Moore in that trade with Carolina that came with a ton of draft capital moving out of the first overall selection. More offensive pieces at his disposal. They will bolster the offensive line. They get Darnell Wright, who will be a day one starter, and they need it, Joe. Justin Fields sacked 55 times last year in his second year, his first full year as a starter. It was tied for most in the National Football League alongside Russell Wilson of the Denver Broncos. And Joe,
I don't want to say I take pride in being right, but last night we were all over Will Levis not being a top five or top 10 pick, and that he was not better than CJ Stroud or Anthony Richardson. We were proven correct by the NFL minds out there in those 31 organizations. I feel pretty confident still about the assessment of Justin Fields from the 2021 NFL draft that both you and I shared, that he was far better than Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, or Mac Jones. If it was Trevor Lawrence 1, as we always knew, it was a slight 1A for Fields. Now entering year number 3 is the year for Fields to prove it. The Bears are not going to win a Super Bowl. The Bears are not probably even going to be a playoff team, but they do need to put up some wins this year after only having 3 in 2022, of course, ended up with the worst overall record in the National Football League. And so, Joe, when you can build up the offensive line to protect your most valuable asset, we will see the lengths and the strides that Justin Fields makes here in year number 3, the second year continuously under an offensive scheme that's the same in Luke Getsy, the OC in the Windy City.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I thought they could have went wide receiver, but I understand the pick. I totally get it. And Darnell Wright is a player that, when you think about it, at Tennessee, up-tempo attack, one of the fastest teams to run plays, right? 15 seconds between plays. Why is that important? Yep. Well, the conditioning aspect. People don't realize when an offensive lineman can stand up to that type of tempo on the college level, that typically translates to the NFL level. Mm-hmm. And if they do want to run a little bit faster, Darnell Wright is potentially a great fit to that offensive line. They lose David Montgomery. So where can they look later in the draft? Wide receiver, running back potentially, to give him more weapons, because in order for Justin Fields to really elevate his game, you need to solidify the offensive line. So I think that's the perfect pick. Yeah. But now you have to put the pieces around them just the way they did for Jalen Hurts. Justin Fields can be lethal in terms of the passing game. He could kill you with his legs, but he could also kill you with his arm. And outside of Cole Kmet in that offense right now, they need playmakers that could stretch from an offensive perspective. So hopefully they could do that. But I am still saying this right now. Justin Fields in this division, in terms of where they stand, he can be the best quarterback. And not only that, can be one of the most dynamic players with Jalen Hurts in the NFC this year. I am not backing down that Justin Fields is one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the NFL. He's just going to take a little bit longer. I'm telling you, this is the year that he breaks out from the passing perspective.
I really hope so, Joe, because that's what we need to see. Now, there is an old argument out there that is asinine to me and frankly outdated, and if you say it, you sound like an idiot, that Justin Fields is not a quarterback, he's a running back. That Lamar Jackson is not a quarterback, he's a running back. When are we going to get over the idea that running for over 1,000 yards in multiple scores a year is not a detriment to how you play the quarterback position, but a positive? Think about it logistically. If a defense has to prepare for you as a true dual threat, somebody that can beat them over the top, through the air, and on the ground using their legs, that makes their lives harder. That makes their defensive scheme more complicated to follow and their preparations all that much more difficult. And then if you're scoring 2 touchdowns throwing and you're adding 2 touchdowns on the ground, that's 4 touchdowns. If you're only a quarterback that throws for 3, you're adding an additional score. I think, Joe, we're getting to that stage, but we're still in the outdated model that because you run, it means you're not a great thrower. And because you run, you put yourself in harm's way. It's football. Everybody puts themselves in harm's way. We need to get to the point, Joe, where you see Lamar run for over 1,200 yards in his MVP season, a record for a quarterback in terms of the amount of rushing yards, the most ever in a single season in the National Football League, that was only followed up by more than 1,400 from Justin Fields this past year, the second most in NFL history in a single season by a quarterback. We need to get to the point where that's an added benefit in an extra dimension, not a negative that takes away from their style of play.
It seems like when it only fits the narrative. We don't make that type of assessment when we're talking about Josh Allen, are we? Josh Allen's running is like, oh, Josh Allen runs too. Great, right? He's one of the most dynamic quarterbacks. Daniel Jones signs a $40 million extension per year. Yep. Why? Because he passes and he runs, yeah. right? He only threw for 15 touchdowns yeah. last year. We don't make that assessment with his game. Why would C.J. Stroud or even Justin Fields? It is completely asinine. Jalen Hurts, listen, I said this about Jalen Hurts coming out of Oklahoma. Yeah. I thought he was still a raw quarterback. He still needed to learn a lot from the passing perspective. But in terms of being a winner, nobody better.
Sorry, there's a loud buzzer yeah, and alarm going off here.
It might be emergency broadcast. Emergency,
yeah, who knows? We're at the Ocean Casino Resort here. Live in Atlantic City. I think we're okay at the moment, but if we get up and run, you know why. All right, anyway, Joe, I think when it comes to that idea as well, it is really important to say that it's all about how you run. Josh Allen is a battering ram.
Yep.
And that's maybe not the best style. You got to be safe with how you do it. But look at the way Lamar Jackson runs. He gets out of bounds. He slides. He's not taking additional hits that he doesn't need. The two injury-plagued seasons for him the past 2 years, and we can all speculate about why he didn't play the final five games of the regular season in the playoffs this past year, but he was truly injured on that knee. Those injuries happen with him in the pocket, where you're as likely to get injured as you are. That is a crazy signal. I'm going to ask our manager, Greg Sussman. Greg, are we okay? We're live on air here. We're good. All right. Might just be an emergency testing. System.
All right,
just to
good.
Test. You know, we're right here on the shore of the Atlantic Ocean, down the Jersey Shore. You never know what that could be with some bad weather out there. But we're good. We're going to keep rolling here on Football Full Circle, live from Atlantic City. It's all about how you run, Joe. Jalen Hurts is sensational at that, knowing where you can get out of bounds, but also gain that additional yardage. In fact, one of the more dangerous plays is the quarterback sneak that Philly used to their great benefit last year, even in the Super Bowl, the push from behind. It was unstoppable. It's been outlawed now in the National Football League, but that's a dangerous spot. That's where Patrick Mahomes broke his kneecap yeah. 3 years ago in the National Football League. So it's all about how you run. It's all about using those smarts, and it's all about being an additional benefit to their teams. Joe, speaking of a young quarterback as well, the Steelers traded up by a few draft spots at 14th overall to take Broderick Jones, the big hog molly, out of Georgia. Again, adding to that offensive line to keep Kenny Pickett upright. We all knew that for the past two seasons, really, the offensive line was a detriment for the Steelers under Matt Canada, so at least they add some improvement there.
Oh, he kept Stetson Bennett upright for a couple of seasons
and
two
times.
National championships, and a dominant run blocker as well. That's the biggest thing when you look at Pittsburgh and their overall team success. They want to have more balance. They want to work off a play action with Kenny Pickett, get Najee Harris involved in terms of the rushing attack. So Broderick Jones is a fantastic pick. He was graded there with Paris Johnson in yeah. terms of the best offensive tackles in this draft to get them where the Steelers got him. Fantastic pick for the offense.
You really want to make sure you keep your young quarterbacks happy. You want to make sure you keep them healthy by protecting them. And if you can add some offensive pieces for them, that is really where it needs to be. A couple of more first round reflections and thoughts before we look at today and who might be going early and often in the 2023 NFL draft in day number two. More Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live here on Football Full Circle. A few more thoughts on the first round of the 2023 NFL Draft before we turn our attention to what might happen here on day number two, rounds two and three here of the NFL Draft. Joe, let's go through a couple of spots that we liked last night in the first round draft order. Again, only 31 picks due to the Miami Dolphins forfeiting their first round selection for a violation of the NFL's tampering policy. But as you go up and down the board, Joe, a couple of of spots early on we haven't discussed really in full just yet. Devin Witherspoon, fifth overall to the Seattle Seahawks. Entering last night, Jalen Carter was a minus 270 favorite to be that fifth overall pick by the Seahawks. And at seventh overall, a guy that just 2 days ago was the favorite to be the second overall pick, Tyree Wilson, the edge rusher linebacker combo out of Texas Tech. He falls to seventh to the Las Vegas Raiders. Joe, what do you make of those two picks? Witherspoon at five, Wilson at seven.
I think they're both solid. I think when you look at Seattle, their defense needs an upgrade, especially in the secondary position. And Pete Carroll, just like Bill Belichick, a safety coach, a defensive secondary type of coach, coaches it up. That's a perfect fit for their defense. They could have went Tyree Wilson as well. He was potentially rumored with Seattle to get a potential, you know, edge rusher to go up against the LA Rams and Arizona and the rest of the teams within the conference. But you can't go wrong with Devin Witherspoon. We talked about it last night in terms of the Illini and under the radar type of defense in the Big Ten. At one point, 10 games into the regular season, that secondary was holding opposing Big Ten quarterbacks to 47% completion percentage, only allowed two passing touchdowns all year through 10 games of the regular season, and forced 17 interceptions. And Devin Witherspoon was a main reason why. He could play bump and run coverage. He's solid in terms of tackling and open space and run support. And that's what Seattle needs to go with their now high-octane offense. On the flip side for the Raiders, Tyree Wilson, if you watch Joey McGuire, and I got to give it out because we haven't been in person. Bing, bing, bing! For Texas Tech, right? Texas Tech I was high on all last year, right? Yep. From an offensive perspective, we know what they were able to do with Sir Roderick Thompson and Taj Brooks. But on the defensive side of the ball, Tyree Wilson was the main cog for that front seven. He elevated his game throughout the year. Yep. Strip sacks, turnovers, go to two games in particular. One was a loss against TCU. They were undefeated at that time. Tyree Wilson, from a defensive perspective, was all over Max Duggan, even though they lost. And then the end of the regular season, they're fighting to get into a bowl contention. He solidifies the win in Ames against Iowa State, just a dominant run stuffer. I say he's a Myles Garrett type of player.
Joe, you made that point, too, about Tyree Wilson last night on the broadcast, that he's not just a pure edge rusher who's going to get after the quarterback. He's great in run support. And I think it's a really good pick for the Las Vegas Raiders. There was some concern, as our NFL insider Adam Kaplan shared last night, about some injury history. He wasn't able to really work out in full for teams around the NFL in this draft cycle, but still finds his way to seventh overall to the Las Vegas Raiders. A very good pick there. And Joe, I'm incredibly high, of course, on Devin Witherspoon. He was a heavy favorite to be the first defensive back taken last night, and he lived up to that. It's really one of the great success stories, Joe, I think, last night early on in the NFL draft. Devin Witherspoon comes from Pensacola, Florida, played at Pine Forest High School, Joe. He was a zero-star recruit. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, where we see a lot of five-star recruits, of course, get drafted in the 2023 NFL draft. A zero-star recruit that had one offer, Joe, from an FBS program. At the time, it was Lovie Smith in Illinois. He ends his career in Champaign as a Jim Thorpe finalist for the best defensive back in the country. Should have won that award. He did not. But he still ended his career with 18 forced incompletions last year, Joe, the second most in all of college football. A consensus All-American. A two-time first-team All-Big Ten player. And he goes from zero-star recruit, really unnoticed out of high school, to a top-five pick in the National Football League draft. I know a lot of Seahawks fans were not loving where the positional value was, needing to address some things up front more so than the secondary for them last night, but I think you have a surefire all-pro type player in Devin Witherspoon. And for Seattle, Joe, not having to move any of their spots, and they end up with Devin Witherspoon and Jackson Smith and Jigba at 5 and 20 respectively, Pete Carroll and everybody in the Pacific Northwest has to be thrilled after night number one.
You know, when Russell Wilson left, they thought this team would tank. He has done, I think, one of the best jobs in the NFL in terms of solidifying and rebuilding without falling off, right? They fell off with Russell Wilson at the helm, not with Geno Smith, which is unbelievable. And again, they get two quality players. They get potentially the best wide receiver in this draft class, and Witherspoon, again, it's not going to wow maybe the fan base or wow the people or the fans knowing about Devin Witherspoon. Where did he play? Did he play, you know, at Ohio State or did he play at Georgia? No, he played at Illinois. But at the end of the day, he was one of the best players for that defense. And look at what Brett Bielema has done with the Illini now, right? In terms of that progression, especially on the defensive side of the ball. He's a main reason, and he's coachable. To go from a no-star recruit to where he is now, drafted in the first round, phenomenal in terms of his progression.
Absolutely so, and I think he will be an immediate impact player for the Seattle Seahawks. And Joe, again, this is a playoff team in Seattle that got better last night. Yes, maybe some regression is expected, perhaps, for Geno Smith. I don't think so, and he's got more pieces now at his disposal with JSN, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, there for the Seahawks. The win total for Seattle next year, 8.5. The over has the slight bit of juice. If they're a 9-8 football team contending for 10-7, they might be in the running for the NFC West, and they certainly will be in the running, Joe, in a much weaker division in the NFC this upcoming season than that of the AFC. Because, Joe, I tweeted this out yesterday. When you look at the odds right now in the AFC for the 8 best prices and their quarterbacks of those teams, it's going to be an absolute gauntlet. The Chiefs are the favorites, plus 350. Patrick Mahomes, of course, their quarterback. The Buffalo Bills, the second best price, plus 450. Josh Allen, their quarterback. Joe Burrow and the Bengals, the third best number, plus 490. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, we'll get to what they did on draft night in just a moment. The fourth best price, plus 450. After Lamar signs the contract extension, more optimism reflected in the odds, better positive vibes out there, $2 off their price. Now fifth alone at 10-1. Justin Herbert and the LA Chargers, 13-1. Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins, also 13-1. And right now, Joe, Jacksonville, who is an odds-on favorite to win their division, by the way, in the AFC South, is the eighth best price at 15-1. Their quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. That doesn't even count Deshaun Watson with the Browns at 17-1, the ninth best number. And if Russell Wilson has any sort of resurgence under Sean Payton, a Super Bowl-winning head coach, the Broncos are 25-1, the 10th best number. We just listed 10 teams with great quarterbacks, at least at one point in their NFL career. Joe, getting it through the AFC this year is going to be as difficult a task as you will find.
It really will be, and that's why I can't buy in to the success of the New York Jets with Aaron Rodgers. You know, at the end of the day, it's a new team. I get that new optimism, but he's going up against potentially some of the best elite offenses in all of the NFL. I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes just seems to reload no matter who you throw around him. Juju Smith-Schuster, Mecole Hardman are now gone. It doesn't matter. Do we expect Kansas City to fall off? No, because as long as Travis Kelce's in that offense, guess what? They are making it at least to the playoffs, and then good luck trying to beat them in Arrowhead. So at the end of the day, we know about the explosiveness from a quarterback position within the AFC. Yeah. It's can you match that from an offensive perspective, and can your defense potentially carry you over the edge? And maybe that's why the New York Jets went with the pick that they did in terms of, you know, Iowa State and the outside linebacker, because McDonald, again, you know, he's a quality player. Is he an elite presence? No. He's a plug and play that maybe you could get productivity, and maybe Robert Saleh and that organization said, you know what, we can coach him up to fill an immediate need. Well, only time will tell. But again, I think when you look at the two best offenses in terms of the AFC right now, to me, I'm still going to go with Joe Burrow and Kansas City.
Certainly so. The Chiefs last night, by the way, ending out the first round, 31st overall. Felix Anaduke Uzama, who is a edge rusher linebacker combo out of Kansas State. Uzama. He is a Lee's Summit, Missouri kid, Joe, that's just outside Kansas City. Played his college football at K-State, part of the Big 12 championship team this past year. And to be drafted by the reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City, where the draft is, storybook type stuff there. A really good piece for the KC Chiefs, adding to their defense. And the Bengals, who can finally, Joe, draft for what they think is a benefit to their offense, not just filling holes along their roster. Miles Murphy, the edge rusher out of Clemson, that has some really high upside. Anton Harrison, the offensive lineman out of Oklahoma, picked by Jacksonville, again building up that offensive line. There's a suspension forthcoming, we believe, for Cam Robinson, so you want to protect Trevor Lawrence. Some really good picks toward the tail end of the draft. The Chiefs Bengals and Jags all picking in the final five picks of the opening round. Let's go to that 15th overall pick, the New York Jets, because, Joe, it was official earlier this week. Aaron Rodgers, now a New York Jet, and we got the terms of that trade package between the Packers and the Jets. They swapped their first-round selections this year. The Packers now picking 13th overall, the Jets at number 15. The Jets were heavily favored, Joe, minus 300 for the first position of the player they selected in the 2023 NFL Draft to be an offensive lineman, minus 300. The second most likely was a defensive player, but minus 300. And so to make the decision to not draft an offensive lineman, yes, all the best ones were already off the board, with Pittsburgh moving up one pick in front of New York to get Broderick Jones. But to make that decision to not go O-line is something Aaron Rodgers is used to throughout his career. His organization not drafting an offensive player to help him out on that side of the football, looking to the other side. We'll talk about that up next, and also what the Packers decided to do at 13th overall. We'll break it down up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To football full circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back on FFC. Joe Lisi, let's talk about the Aaron Rodgers experiment for the New York Jets. Of course, the deal was official earlier this week as of Monday afternoon. Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of gangrene. And a part of that trade package was the Packers and the Jets swapping first-round picks here in 2023. The Packers moving up to 13th overall. The Jets moving back by just a few picks to 15th overall. And at that number 15 overall pick, Joe, after Pittsburgh leapfrogs them to draft Broderick Jones at 14, the New York Jets were like, uh-oh, now we don't love what we have on the board from an offensive lineman perspective. We are going to focus on the other side of the ball. They take Will McDonald, the linebacker, out of Iowa State. Now, they were minus 300, Joe, were the New York Jets, to draft an offensive lineman as their first positional player taken in this 2023 NFL draft. Aaron Rodgers has long been accustomed to his organization looking at the other side of the ball and not maybe providing the resources he would desire offensively. This is not the biggest whatever, right? Like where they're not picking a wide receiver, where they don't really need one in New York at this moment with all the young talent they have, where they're not drafting an offensive lineman. They're pretty solid up there as well. It's just interesting, Joe, that they go and they get this deal, and it's all in on Aaron Rodgers for what might be this only year in New York, and they look defensively, a defense that was top five in pretty much every metric last year under defensive-minded head coach Robert Saleh. And now they go defense with that first overall pick. Joe, what do you think Aaron Rodgers' reaction to that move is?
I think he's immune to that. I think stoic, no reaction. But it's typical, right? Maybe it's just the Aaron Rodgers effect. Maybe he's got like this aura about him that all of a sudden GMs and coaches say, you know what, we have to go defense. But they really don't need a wide receiver, right? Mecole Hardman is there, and they did sign Alan Lazard, and now Garrett Wilson, one of the best young wide receivers potentially in the AFC. So there are weapons. Brees Hall comes back from injury last year. And the injury to Mikey Becton, maybe they were hesitant in terms of taking an offensive lineman and knowing how that panned out to help Zach Wilson, right? So at the end of the day, they made a pick that potentially could help their organization elevate to the next level. Because let me tell you something, it's not going to be easy going up against the Buffalo Bills, Miami Dolphins, and New England Patriots. There's no guarantee they're going to win one divisional game just because Aaron Rodgers is there. So, Will McDonald is a good blue-collar player. That's my term. He's always around the football. He's 6'3", 6'4". 239 pounds. Now, when you think about Iowa State, though, from a defensive perspective, they tailed off last year. They did not win a Big 12 game last year under their coach, Matt Campbell, right? I almost zoned out there for a second. I didn't think Matt Campbell, but they tailed off from their productivity a couple of years ago. Is that a concern for the New York Jets? Or did Robert Saleh see something and say, I can change this guy, or I can put him in a scheme where he can be effective. Because if you could turn him into Micah Parsons, well, then guess what? They got the steal of the draft at number 15 overall.
Right, and there's going to be that idea, Joe, that Will McDonald is probably going to be incredibly productive on that defensive side of the football. Of course, last year, it was a defensive rookie for New York that won Defensive Rookie of the Year in Sauce Gardner in the secondary. There are a ton of pieces in place. Quinnen Williams was sensational. He's in ongoing contract conversations with the New York Jets front office now. It's just when you have Aaron Rodgers, you would think, Joe, your focus, and it might be for the rest of this entirety of the NFL draft, is to bolster the roster on the offensive side of the ball to make them as good as they can be. But really, the entire roster needs it. Not all that shocking, just kind of funny. I was really hoping, Joe, with the 13th overall pick and Jaxon Smith-Njigba on the board, that the Green Bay Packers were going to take a wide receiver as a final to Aaron Rodgers. They end up not doing that. In fact, they go for a defensive edge, Joe, that I am incredibly high on, but I did not really know if he would be taken this early on, knowing what was still on the board. Lucas Van Ness, the edge rusher out of Iowa, a man in Iowa City, Joe, known as Hercules. I think a lot of Packers fans were questioning this pick by Brian Gutekunst and why they decided to make it there, why they had to move up and swap picks to take Van Ness out of Iowa. But when you look at the talent and you look at the frame, I believe truly, and I'm going to put this on record right now. Okay. I said it last night on social media. I think he's going to be a multiple all-pro player in the National Football League. Let me take it one step further, Joe. I believe in his National Football League career, Lucas Van Ness will win a Defensive Player of the Year award in the National Football League. I believe he is that good. I believe he is that much of a game breaker. I believe in a very versatile skill set and the athleticism and the frame that he possesses. Lucas Van Ness will win a DPOY before his career is done.
Well, it's, I mean, at the end of the day, you're getting one of the top players in terms of the Big Ten. And at the end of the day, Iowa is known for what? Interior linemen. Tristan Wirfs on the offensive side of the ball. Yep. Dominant offensive lineman throughout the years for the Iowa Hawkeyes. And on the defensive side of the ball as well. Look at the progression of A.J. Epenesa last year. Okay, he was taken as that player by the Buffalo Bills 3 years ago. Didn't pan out until last year. He gets 6.5 sacks, right? It took a while. But the progression, and that's what I think Van Ness brings in terms of that defense. The ability to get after the quarterback, the motor, we always hear it. He never takes plays off. That's what translates to the next level. When you look at, obviously, the teams within the division, right, in Minnesota with Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook and now getting after the quarterback, Detroit now as well solidifying their offense, and even Justin Fields, a more mobile type of quarterback, you need front players and defensive edge rushers that could put pressure and get off the field, right? You have to be able to get off the field. Third down is one of the most underrated statistics in all of the NFL and college. Yep. If you can get off the field on third down, you give your offense more opportunities to win ball games, and that's what Lucas Van Ness brings to the Green Bay Packers.
And Joe, think about Iowa's company last night in the first round. Two college football programs had three first round picks. Alabama had three, of course, with Bryce Young one, Will Anderson Jr. three, and Jahmyr Gibbs at number 12. Ohio State had three as well. C.J. Stroud, Paris Johnson Jr., Jaxon Smith-Njigba. By the way, Ohio State now the first ever football program from a college perspective to have 90 first-round picks in the common draft era. But then Iowa had two. Georgia had two. Clemson had two. That's what the Iowa Hawkeyes do defensively. It's why they have their best unit on the field more than most, is because that's how good Iowa's defense is. And there will be a lot of conversation, Joe, about Lucas Van Ness and not starting a game during his career for the Hawkeyes. But in the last 2 years, he played in 27 games. Last year, had the second most snaps accounted for on Iowa's defense. Phil Parker, the great defensive coordinator, I think the best in the country in college football, is well known for playing his veterans, his upperclassmen, and giving them the starts. But production level, you can see Lucas Van Ness playing the second most snaps last year for the Hawkeyes. Defense is there, 13.5 sacks over his past 2 years. And Leesy, two punts blocked in the same game against Iowa State in that rivalry game early on last college football season. The only Iowa Hawkeye in football program history to block multiple punts in the same game. So an interesting pick, but one that I believe in Lucas Van Ness. All right, Joe, only about 12 minutes left here in our show, our two-hour special on Football Full Circle, live from Ocean Casino Resort in Atlantic City, where our headquarters are for our Sports Grid draft coverage. Who are you most looking forward to tonight? A couple of names that you think might go early on in this second round that, despite being a second rounder, going day number two, can make an immediate impact in the National Football League.
Well, I'll give you one offense and one defensive early on. Jalen Hyatt, right? He was no one Hendon Hooker all last year, 15 touchdowns in terms of the regular season, a speedy playmaker. I mean, just could take the top off opposing defenses. I really want to see where he goes in terms of the wide receivers in this draft class. There's other names as well. Nate Dell later from Houston that I mentioned. I also like Marvin Mims from Oklahoma. And B.J. Ojulari. You know, B.J., the reason why I say that is his brother Aziz from the New York Giants had a very successful first year with the new staff, and it was a plug-and-play type of player. Had 5.5 sacks last year for Brian Kelly. But we talk about edge rushers, and we talk about players translating to the NFL. Well, guess what? LSU players translate very well to the NFL, and not just the secondary guys, right? Look at Arden Key last year and that success with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Barkevious Mingo resurrected his career, right? So when you look at big picture and you look at, you know, SEC caliber, we think Alabama, we think Georgia. B.J. Ojulari in big games last year, 11 total tackles in the win over Bryce Young in Alabama. He had 9 against Arkansas, 5 against Georgia in the SEC championship game.
Yeah.
What more can you want, baby?
Absolutely so, Joe. I think it's a great look. Let me add in one more defensive name for you. Adetomiwa Adibore. He is a edge rusher. I'm going to hit that tonight.
Only you could say
we got Mike Blewett hanging around the set. Listen to this. Northwestern's D lineman, Adetomiwa Adibore. He is going to go early on in the second round tonight. He's wowed people at the combine in Indianapolis. Ran a 4.49 official 40-yard draft, Joe. He, 40-yard dash, excuse me. He is 6'2", 282. It is the fastest 40-yard dash time in the history of the NFL combine for any player that weighs more than 280 pounds. He is going to be a game breaker in the National Football League. I think it will be very funny, and I'll make sure to share out this tweet tonight. Believe me, I will. That if Northwestern has two top 40 picks. They had two picks in the top 40. They had one win as a football team last year. Of course, as Peter Skoronski goes 11th overall to the Tennessee Titans. I think he's going to be a name to watch. Of course, our focus will be on the quarterbacks, Will Levis out of Kentucky and Hendon Hooker out of Tennessee. Right now, Joe, again, there is a market to bet those quarterbacks, which team we believe is most likely to take them and in comparison to one another. The favorite was Will Levis to go first ahead of Hendon Hooker tonight in whatever order that might be in the draft. Minus 340, Hendon Hooker plus 240. The team that is more than likely, Joe, to take Will Levis right now, according to the odds, the Tennessee Titans at 2-1. We expected Tennessee to be on the move last night, maybe trying to trade up for a quarterback. I don't think it fell the way they wanted to. I think their focus was on Anthony Richardson, and with how the draft order fell, 1, 2, 3, 4, and the Colts going with AR, I don't think there was a move up for Tennessee that they liked. So now they have to focus on a quarterback. They've apparently been hounding the Pittsburgh Steelers for that first pick tonight, number 32 overall, maybe 4, Will Levis. 2-1 for the Titans, plus 350, the second best price, Joe, to draft Will Levis, the LA Rams.
Ooh.
Interesting there, right? Because when you look at where the Rams are in this draft order, of course, the Rams never have first round picks. They didn't have one last night. But LA is the fifth team up on the clock tonight, picking 36th overall, that fifth pick in the second round tonight. They could move up just by a couple of spots, or even if Will Levis continues his slide here in the draft and finds their way to LA. Matt Stafford really banged up last year, and not in a way that was like, oh, he's got a bad ankle or a bad shoulder. He had nerve damage, Joe, from continuous hits to the head and neck area. He missed a good majority of last year for Los Angeles. He's feeling good. He is feeling healthy. He is ready to go for 2023, but maybe LA looking for their quarterback of the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Bryce Perkins wasn't the answer either. Had a couple games where he didn't even throw for 100 yards in the first half. I tell you what, all eyes are on both quarterbacks. quarterback, significant drop off, Ben. But and you know what? I'm looking at the running backs in this second and third and potential fourth. Yeah. Loaded. The names that are on this board.
Loaded. When you think about some of those players, Mo Ibrahim out of Minnesota, where does he go? We'll get into all of that as we round out the show up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Time really does fly when you're having fun. And when you're in person together for a radio show, time really goes very, very quickly. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We have been here live on our Sports Grid set for our 2023 NFL Draft coverage in Atlantic City at Ocean Casino Resort. Inside their wonderful sports book, the gallery here in AC. Who needs KC when you have AC? They have better barbecue. We have an ocean. Come on now. Nothing can be better than that. I love Kansas City, by the way. A really great city. The Power and Light District, fantastic. Anyway, we'll get to that another time.
Best barbecue, by the way.
My dad and I went for a Chiefs game.
A Monday night
Chiefs game in 2017, I believe it was. October 2017. The reason I know that, Alex Smith was still the starter for the Chiefs. We went to Jack Stack before we went to Arrowhead. Oh, the burnt ends. I could bathe in them. I could eat them for the rest of my life. It was sensational stuff, and that's where the draft is. The Kansas City Chiefs, the reigning Super Bowl champions, Felix and Ndike Uzama was their pick to round out the opening round. Lisi, we get ready for day number two tonight, rounds 2 and 3. Who is the player you are most excited to see drafted this evening?
Well, I don't know where he's going to get drafted, but yeah. I am curious for a couple of guys. I mean, Tank Bigsby from Auburn, you know, the running back. We talk about the depth of the running back class. Unbelievable. Chardonnay, I mean, Carbonet, Devin Achane, Rashawn Johnson, I mean, Tajay Spears. The list goes on and on about the running back depth that you could get in terms of the second through fifth rounds. Chris Rodriguez, Mo Ibrahim. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, yeah. I'm really excited about the running backs from day two through day seven.
And that's the value which made two running backs going in the top 12 that more exciting last night. I'm really excited to see what happens in the quarterback conversation. We will have you covered with a 6-hour day two marathon tonight on Sports Grid starting at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Lisi will be there. I will be there. Mike Blewett will be running the show. Our NFL insider Adam Kaplan and Warren Sharp as well. Join us at 6 p.m. Eastern time. That does it for us today on Football Full Circle. Have a great weekend.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.